Hey guys, it's Elena.
And it's Candace.
And you're listening to Cousins on Crime. Is going on.
Yeah, you know, just the Christmas rush. Are you in the Christmas rush?
I am. Every year I say I'm gonna start like in January,
right,
planning for Christmas, but I wait till like 2 weeks before Christmas. So
yes, I felt pretty good this year.
Yeah,
because last year was just blah, and so we didn't really do much last year. And you know, being away from family.
Yeah.
It's like you order everything on Amazon and there's not really a whole ton of prep.
Yeah.
But anyways, yeah, I've gotten everything done this year, so.
Yeah. Have you enjoyed shopping?
No. I haven't enjoyed shopping. Uh-huh. I have enjoyed partaking in the Christmas fanfare.
Okay.
Taking the girls. We took the girls to see the lights, like drive-through lights, and, you know, taking them to see Santa and just things like that.
Yeah.
It's a magical time. But shopping has lost its luster in my life. Like,
I agree.
I used to love grocery shopping. Love it.
Grocery shopping?
Grocery shop. I used to
You're weird.
Plan. I know. I used to plan like our meals and all the things that we would need. And I would get it down to kind of a science. Like, okay, I used half the bag of this potatoes for this meal. And then 4 days later, I used the potatoes for something else in this meal. And I used to do like freezing bags of slow cooker meals. And I used to just love that stuff. And now I absolutely despise it. I do drive up orders for everything. I think it's just my anxiety and I feeling really overwhelmed. And
but also I think society, I mean, let's get deep for a minute.
Let's do it.
Society has really just made us this way.
Yeah.
Like, let me make you lazy. Or I mean, I'm not calling you lazy.
Yeah, I am lazy.
But you are a mom of three.
I aspire to be.
I mean, it's difficult with three kids.
Yeah.
Running around the grocery, you know, the grocery store, or, you know, leaving them at home, going to the grocery store thinking, oh, I need to get back to help my husband. I mean, I don't have that in my life, but I can only imagine. But no, society's
like,
let me make
it. But you have 100 other things to do. And it's like, you're like, okay, I need this, that, and the other. And then you go in and you just, I have brain fog. Like I go in and I have a list, but I get distracted and overwhelmed. And so I kind of lose track of what I'm supposed to be doing. Mm-hmm. I end up spending 2 hours in the grocery store. I have a cart full of stuff that doesn't go together, like boxes of snacks and three loaves of bread and 2 gallons of milk. And it's like, I spend $400 at the grocery store and we still eat out every night because it's like, I can't cook with all the stuff I just bought because it's nonsense. You know what I mean? Yeah. So anyways.
Well, and if you do plan something, you know, that week the girls may not eat it. Like they may not want it.
They just want macaroni every night.
Well,
macaroni.
Yeah.
Macaroni. And that would be easy if I just made macaroni every night. I mean, I could do that in theory.
But they need their nutrition.
Not doing them any favors.
Right.
Doing me favors. Mm-hmm. But anyways, that is my rant about, you know.
Yeah. Y'all didn't know y'all came to.
You didn't know you came to grocery talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, first world problems.
Mm-hmm.
People are out there like foraging And here I am like, I don't want to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, get your act together.
I'm so sorry. I'm ashamed.
You should be. Enough about you.
Enough about me.
We're going to get into this.
Oh, before we forget, we're taking next week off, guys.
Yes.
It's Christmas. I mean, it's Christmas.
Yeah.
So.
We hate to do that to you. But
I hate it. But who works between Christmas and New Year's anyways?
Nobody.
Nobody does. And if you say, oh, well, I have to. No, you don't. You'll go to work and you'll sit at your desk, but you're going to be listening to our podcast.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
And probably playing solitaire on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
Or what is it? Minesweep? What is it?
Wow. Do people even play that anymore?
I don't know. I don't even know how to play. I would just click, 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 click. I don't know what I was doing.
I know. Like, yeah, I don't even know.
So what do you have for us?
Well, I really don't want to tell this story.
Oh, no.
It's.
I should have brought my fake cigarette, shouldn't I? Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah, you probably should have.
I should just keep it in my bag. Yeah. I've got one in the car, actually. I could go get it.
Okay. Have you heard of Reagan and Braxlyn Hancock? It's a very recent case.
No, actually.
Taylor Parker. Does that sound ring a bell?
Taylor Parker.
Well, within the last couple of years. So, okay. So Reagan Hancock was born on November 14th, 1998, in New Hope, Arkansas. Her parents divorced, and at some point in her life, she moved to New Boston, Texas, which is northeast Texas. She had a big family with several siblings between her mom's side and her dad's side. She had a really good relationship with her mom. It was said of her that she was a very happy person and was always smiling, and she loved with her whole heart. Her mom said that she had the funniest attitude. She would not let you be sad, and she was there for every single person. She could be rough and tough when she needed to be.
Okay.
Other times, she could be sweet and gentle. Reagan met a man named Homer Hancock, and not long after, she was pregnant with her first baby.
Okay.
They named her Kenley, real cute.
Oh.
In July 2019, they got engaged. They had engagement pictures done where Kenley was wearing a shirt that said, "Mommy, will you marry my daddy?"
Oh.
So sweet. So just a couple months later, in September 2019, they had their wedding. Reagan was a beautiful bride with a big bouquet of sunflowers and yellow and red roses. They moved into a new house and shortly after announced that their second baby was on her way. Her name, the new baby's name, would be Braxlyn Sage. Reagan's mother said, "I was so proud of the mother that she turned out to be." Reagan and Homer, they worked really hard. Reagan worked at Flying Burger and Seafood in Texarkana. She got a new car, a 2020 Nissan Rogue SUV.
Oh, snap.
Yeah, living it
up. She's really doing it.
Yeah. Homer, he previously worked as a jail guard before starting a new job with a landscaping firm and then recently and then started a new job at a trucking center. I guess trying to find his niche.
Yeah.
Reagan, she talked about taking college courses in the spring. She had high hopes and good plans for the future.
This sounds like a couple of ambitious people that just want to be the best version of themselves and like find what they really are meant to do.
Yeah. And just be good parents for their kids. Like just have their own little family and they're doing it.
I love it.
So that's the good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're turning a leaf here.
The turntables.
The turntables.
So on October 9th of 2020, Reagan was just about 8 months pregnant. Homer left the house early to start his work day that day, leaving Reagan and Kinley to follow out of the house shortly after. Reagan had been texting Homer through the early morning, but around 8:30, she stopped texting. It was normal for them to talk and text all through the day. He thought maybe she was just getting Kinley ready for daycare or whatnot, so he just tried to put the worry out of his head. At 9:15, Homer received a text from their neighbor telling him that his dog was out in the front yard roaming around.
Oh, no.
Well, Homer started calling and texting Reagan like over and over. Like he's like, answer the phone. Well, there was no response. Ooh. He then called Jessica, Reagan's mom. She was closer to the house than he was. Jessica immediately left work and headed to their house. She decided quickly, she's like, maybe I just need to stop at Kinley's daycare and see if she checked in for the day.
Yeah.
And Kinley was not there.
Oh, God.
Jessica called her husband, Marcus, and told him she thinks she just needs to go to the police station. She knew in her gut that something was wrong.
She didn't want to go over there.
Yeah, I think she's just like, she just I know something's wrong. Like, I need to get the authorities like now.
Yeah.
And yeah, she just knew something was wrong. But Marcus, he did his best to just like calm her down. He's like, maybe she's just sleeping. She fell asleep. Mm-hmm. Just go over there. It'll be fine. So Jessica drove as fast as she could, and when she saw that the garage door was open, that sick feeling just got worse.
Mm.
They never left their garage door open. When she got out of the car, she saw blood in the driveway, and so she's like trying to be positive, like maybe it's just animal blood.
Yeah.
But she walked into the garage, and she saw more blood. She saw a bloody fingerprint on the doorknob. She gently grabbed the doorknob with her t-shirt and slowly opened the door. She then saw a bloody shoe print on the floor.
Oh my gosh, this is like a horror movie.
It is. Ugh. So yeah, she knew at that moment, I need to get in this house and find my daughter. As she went all the way in, she saw blood everywhere.
Oh my God.
On the walls, on the furniture, just everywhere. And there was Reagan in the living room floor, lying face down with her arms above her head, covered in blood.
Mm.
Jessica fell and she screamed and she cried. This could not be happening to her baby. She called 911. Marcus and his friend Chris arrived at the house before police, and against Jessica's advice, Marcus went in and saw the horror.
Oh, God.
He lost it. He just went right back out to be with Jessica. In the midst of all this, they hadn't seen Kinley yet. And so they're like, okay, where's Kinley? Marcus began screaming out for little three-year-old Kinley. And in the distance, they heard her calling back. So they heard her calling back from inside of the house. Chris, who was with them, he insisted on going in the house to get Kinley so that Jessica and Marcus didn't have to go back in.
Yeah.
Chris went straight to Kinley's bedroom, and there she was in her bed hiding under the blanket.
Oh, blessed.
When she peeked out of the blanket, she saw Chris and she ran to him. She knew who he was, mm-hmm. so she just ran to him. He carried her through the living room with her head covered with a blanket and took her outside.
Oh, Lord Almighty.
Homer got there and they would not let him go in. They're like, oh, no, my gosh. You don't need to see this.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Oh. So the medical examiners, they could see that Reagan had been bludgeoned, beaten, and stabbed. The obvious weapons were a glass jar that was filled with the pink and blue sand that they filled at their wedding day.
That is low.
Isn't it just sick?
Wow.
It's gross. And the other obvious weapon was a hammer. Ugh. The flat side and the claw side. Mm. Sorry to be a little graphic.
Oof.
Reagan, she fought so hard.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. All in all, she had 5 skull fractures, a broken nose. I think they said a fractured finger.
Oh my gosh.
She had over 100 stab wounds all over her body.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And a scalpel was lodged in her neck.
Oh.
When they rolled her over, they saw that she had been cut open from hip to hip. Her uterus had been removed, and so had the baby.
Oh my good Lord.
Yeah.
How horrifying.
Yeah. Yeah. So Braxlyn Sage had been ripped out of her and kidnapped. Police quickly put out a BOLO for Braxlyn. So during all of the police chatter, they miraculously tied this emergency call to another call that had come in just about 30 minutes before Jessica called 911.
What?
So just after 9:30 in DeKalb, Texas, which was about 15-minute drive from New Boston, a police officer saw a woman driving recklessly, like speeding. He followed her, and that's when the woman in the car called 911 and told the operator that a police officer is following her, but she needs an ambulance to meet her and take her to the hospital in Idabel, Oklahoma.
What?
Yeah. Idabel is about an hour drive from New Boston.
Okay, why did she want to be taken there?
Well, I'll tell you in just a second.
Because it's in a different state?
Yeah, it'll all come together here in just a minute.
Well, hurry up.
Okay, I'm trying.
I'm itching over here.
So once the police officer got the woman to stop the car, he walked to the window and saw that she had blood all over her clothes and all over her face. She was holding a baby. The umbilical cord, along with the placenta, were tucked in her pants.
You sick freak.
She told the officer that she went into labor at Walmart in New Boston.
She would.
And she quickly left and started driving, and the baby just came.
Okay.
The baby was in cardiac arrest. She had been trying CPR.
Maybe you should have left it in its mother's body. Just a thought.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway.
So the EMTs urged her to go to the nearest hospital, but the woman refused. She demanded to be taken to Idabel because that's where her doctor was, an hour away.
Okay. All right.
When the woman got out of the car, the police officer noticed how strange it was that she had blood all over her, but there was not blood or amniotic fluid in the car that would suggest that she had just given birth.
Mm-hmm.
So arriving at the hospital, the staff immediately continue working on the baby. They make note that the blood and amniotic fluid on the baby was dry. As they examine this woman, identified as Taylor Parker, they can tell by palpating her belly that she did not just give birth.
Can you imagine being one of those nurses?
Right.
Or doctors that was assessing her and being like,
Yeah.
Whoa. Right.
But to think that these professionals who have delivered hundreds of babies.
That this ruse was ever going to work.
Right. I mean, they know all the signs and symptoms. Yeah. Taylor had no level of the HCG pregnancy hormone in her body. They told her that they wanted to check her for hemorrhaging, but she refused to have the exam of her cervix.
Of course.
So the hospital staff had already heard of the BOLO. That, and along with this weird interaction, The next thing they decided to do was a DNA test and confirmed that the baby did not belong to Taylor Parker.
Wow.
In fact, the baby was Homer and Reagan's baby, Braxlyn Sage Hancock. Braxlyn was eventually pronounced dead at the hospital.
No.
Yes.
You stupid hoe.
So even though she was caught, you know.
I will say.
She still was playing the game.
Oh, come on.
Investigators sat in the hospital room with her and as she sobbed and continued to deny that she knew the woman that was murdered. She was still adamant that that was her baby and she did not kidnap her.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah. She told them that the baby's name was Clancy Gale.
I'm sorry?
Clancy Gale.
Get that name out of your mouth, Lena.
Mm.
No.
That's what she said her name was.
That's ridiculous.
Well, they finally get her to agree to the cervical exam. They're like, you could be hemorrhaging. Like, this is an emergency. Uh-huh. We really need to check you. So the OB-GYN comes in, does his exam, and he quickly says, nope, she's not giving birth. No, it didn't happen.
Tight ute. Yeah. Tight everything.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my.
And they finally got her to crack. So after all that, she's like, okay, maybe the gig is up. She went around in circles still, but said she did go over to Reagan's. They got into an altercation. She pushed Reagan, and Reagan fell and hit her head. She said Reagan knew that she was badly hurt, and she asked Taylor to cut Braxlyn out of her and save her.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
Sounds about right.
Okay.
Wow.
Not that I really want to talk about Taylor, but I need y'all to understand that the devil really had a hold of this girl. Like, yeah. She wanted something, and she was going to get it.
Yeah. I mean, listen, 8 years of infertility over here. Okay.
Yeah.
Multiple losses. And I've never thought about cutting a baby out of someone. I thought about snatching a baby that was being ignored.
Yeah.
In the grocery store.
I've done that one too. But
I mean, like, okay, you don't like your kid? I'll take it. But to cut a baby out of somebody's body.
Yeah.
That thought has never crossed my mind.
No.
Wow.
No. No. Yeah. Thou shall not covet.
Thou shall not cut babies out.
Yeah. Come on. So going back a few years, Taylor was married to Tommy Way Casey. She had two kids with, I don't know if the two kids were Tommy's, where they came from, but she had a boy and a girl. After the second child in 2015, she had to have a hysterectomy due to a tubal pregnancy and endometriosis.
Okay. Well, we feel you, girl.
Yeah.
We feel you.
Been there, done that.
Done it.
Yeah.
Been there, done that. Have the t-shirt. Go on.
Well, I mean, we know how hormones can go a little crazy after that,
but of course,
this is another level.
Oh, man. And she already had two kids?
Yes. Well, she was furious. She wanted more. She was devastated. Okay. She wanted more kids. And, yeah. So Tommy eventually, he filed for divorce because he just couldn't handle her anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was said in a report, and I don't know how true this is, but she was furious with him because when she was in the surgery with the doctor came out and talked to Tommy and was like, she's got this going on. There's evidence of endometriosis. No. Do you want her to have a hysterectomy? Mm. And he said yes.
Oh, no.
I don't know if it's another lie.
Yeah, that seems like, oof.
Yeah, so.
That's tough.
He couldn't deal with her anymore. He said she was a pathological liar.
Mm-hmm.
He could see right through her lies and he was just done. So Taylor went on to the next one. She married Hunter Parker. She never told Hunter that she had a hysterectomy.
Oh my gosh.
And that she could not have kids. So Hunter, he told people that she lied a lot. She even faked seizures so that he would feel sorry for her and stay with her.
No. She faked seizures? What? A scoundrel.
Yes.
That is nasty. Like,
That's what I'm telling you. Wow. The devil is in this girl. Like, she's...
Wow.
But yeah, he didn't put up with it and he filed for divorce.
Okay.
She told friends that she had uterine cancer. Okay. She would tell them about being pregnant with twins and having several miscarriages, but she wasn't very open about the fact that she did have a hysterectomy. She's just like, I have uterine cancer mm-hmm. and I'm going through this. Anyway, the next victim on her list was Wade Griffin.
Aye, aye, aye.
Wade eventually became her fiance. And at the beginning of their relationship, Taylor's ex-husband, Hunter.
He was like, guy.
Yeah, exactly. He contacted Wade's younger brother and warned them. He said, be careful with Taylor's lies. She can't be trusted. So the brother told Connie, Wade's mom, about the message from Hunter. Well, they confronted Wade about Taylor, but he didn't want to hear it.
Of course. Taylor's old as time.
Yeah. He's like, why? I'm happy.
Jilted ex. Like.
Yeah. I'm happy. Just let me be happy with her. Mm-hmm. Like, what are y'all doing?
Right.
Yeah. The family thought it was weird also that, she didn't have custody of her two kids.
Yeah, I would think that was pretty weird.
One of the reasons that Taylor gave was that a county judge came into her hospital room and made her sign her rights away after she had a stroke.
I don't believe her. I don't believe her, but I don't believe her at all. Like that she's this type of person.
No.
Now she's faking a stroke.
Yes. Yeah.
What next? What could she possibly...
I'm sure you can imagine what I'm going to say in just a second. So, yeah, they tried to let it all go. They ended up getting along with Taylor pretty well. You know, in the back of their mind, they're like, okay, something's not right, but we're just, you know, for Wade's sake...
Yeah.
Okay. Mm. So Taylor would do and say some outlandish things. I mean, she told them that she was an heiress to some big company and was going to inherit millions.
Wow.
She went as far as to show Wade a piece of property that she wanted to buy him with a pecan orchard, and it had lots of land where they could go hunting and he could take his buddies.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So when that fell through, she told Wade that her mom stole her inheritance money and was trying to kill her and Wade.
Wow. Okay.
She told him, oh, but don't worry because I hired a private investigator and he's going to stop the hitman. It's all good.
Oh, cool. Okay. Not worried at all. Mm-mm. Don't worry.
Wow. At one point... Taylor bought a car for Wade's mom. Apparently, it was the car that she had been wanting, a Nissan Altima.
How did she buy that? You have this smile on your face.
I love the questions.
I have a lot of questions.
You do, and I like it. 2 weeks after giving her the car, Taylor called Connie up and said, hey, I need you to bring the car and just leave it in the driveway. The dealership's going to come pick it up. There's a recall on it and they're going to fix it. Well, Connie was like, this is a little sussy. Mm-hmm. But she told her husband, I bet we never see this car again. So she took the car over. She left it in the driveway. The car had been gone for a couple of weeks, so she called the dealership to check the status. That's when she learned that the car had never actually been purchased.
Oh my gosh.
The payment that Taylor gave never actually went through. So Connie would not be getting that car back, just like she thought.
Wow.
Yeah. Her lies were piling up and seemed to be unraveling. Taylor had to do something drastic so that Wade would stay with her, right? She announced she's pregnant.
Of course.
Yeah. Wow. Wade was so happy and excited.
No, that's so sad.
Yes. But most everyone else was like skeptical. They're like, huh? All these miscarriages. Mm-hmm. Yeah. A couple of her friends questioned her like, I thought you couldn't have any more babies. And but she provided proof every time when she was questioned. She went as far as to use fake pregnancy tests and sonograms. She announced that her due date was September 22nd of 2020. Well, July and August came around and Taylor, she wasn't showing any baby bump. Connie mentioned it to Wade.
Really close. Hey, I've known people that haven't shown, but shown a lot, you know, yeah. Like huge, but
2 months before you're supposed to.
Yeah, that seems a little.
Yeah. So wow. Connie mentioned it to Wade and Wade asked Taylor about it. Like, you're a month or two away from your due date. It's crazy that you're not showing.
Did they live together?
Well, it talks about her going to Wade's house. I didn't find any information about...
See, when people fake their pregnancies, girl. It's always so weird to me because when I was pregnant, Daniel was all over my belly.
Yeah.
I mean, you not would... in a gross way, but like we listened to the heartbeat every night. Like he cuddled up to my belly. I mean, maybe a lot of men aren't like that, but this is just weird that...
Like, can I touch your belly?
Yeah.
Let me see your pregnant belly. I asked myself.
Feel the baby move.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
The whole time I'm researching this, I'm like, did he not?
Maybe he just was like.
Was she just like, no, I don't want to be touched.
She wouldn't lie about this. Like, she wouldn't do this to me.
Yeah.
Was he in denial? And he just didn't want to ask because he didn't want it to not be true.
I mean, that's what it seems, but I don't want to say that of him because I don't know. And it's just like, in my mind, I can just see her being like, I don't want to be touched. You know, like, no, don't, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. So.
Well, she probably made up some story. Oh. About how
she had a story for everything. Yeah, so I'm like, sure you're right.
And I'm sure he believed it because she's so manipulative.
Well, here is the story that she did give. Taylor's answer was that she wasn't showing because she had a tummy tuck. And
I'm sorry?
That prevented her belly from growing.
Oh my gosh. Whoa.
Yeah. But just a few weeks later, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, I'm not clear on that, but miraculously, Taylor had a baby bump.
What?
She bought herself a prosthetic baby bump.
Oh my gosh.
It's like in the movies.
Wow.
So Hunter, again, was still trying to warn everyone about her lies and shenanigans.
My skin is all itchy. Like, I feel embarrassed and I'm not doing this. Like, I'm not the one buying a prosthetic baby bump, but I'm embarrassed. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, something had control over this girl because who would?
She is next level.
Yeah. So Hunter's warning her of all these shenanigans, like, or warning everyone. Taylor told Wade that Hunter was just jealous and he, you know, that she moved on so quick and he was just mad that he wasn't getting her inheritance.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So Wei did get pretty curious, and he called the doctor's office where he was told that Taylor went, but they couldn't give him any information due to the HIPAA privacy laws. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't even confirm if she had ever been in their office. Like, he's like, I don't care if you tell me what was said in the visit. Like, is she a patient there?
Yeah.
And no, I mean, they're not going to give that information. Mm-hmm. Well, why didn't he go to the appointments with her?
That's another thing I was thinking. I mean, to be fair, Daniel couldn't go to any of my appointments.
Right.
Because of COVID.
Exactly. So conveniently for Taylor, it was 2020, mm-hmm. the year of COVID. Mm-hmm. And patients were not allowed to bring anyone into the office with them. So,
wow. She really lucked out with that one.
Yeah. That went very well for her. Taylor even had a gender reveal.
Sick. Mm-hmm.
Revealing that she was having a little girl. She posted maternity and sono pics and on social media and announced that the baby's name would be Clancy Gale.
Is this still Magnolia's or?
I mean, it was a small town, like country.
Wow.
A week till the due date, Tommy, Taylor's first ex-husband, anonymously texts Wade and said, I'm reaching out to you because I feel it's the ethical thing to do. In 2015, Taylor had a hysterectomy. She isn't pregnant. She can't get pregnant. She's a con artist and is lying to keep you around. I'm sure you haven't been to one doctor appointment with her for whatever reason. I don't do drama, not at all. But because I know for a fact she isn't pregnant and is running out of time, I had to reach out. Please be careful. She has lied about so much for so long. She has herself in so deep she can't get out. I'm concerned about how far she might go with this. Chills.
Wow.
All hospitals are on high alert because she may go to the extent of stealing a child. He also warned him that the pictures of the sonogram were fake.
That's another thing, is that she's being so outward facing with this when people know, like people from her past already know she had a hysterectomy, already know all of this stuff.
Right.
And she's sitting there posting all this stuff as if it never, she believes that.
Yeah. She believes every single one of her lies.
Wow.
Yeah. So it wasn't just his family that is trying to have his back and protect Wade. Taylor's exes and his friends were speaking up about their suspicions and experiences with Taylor, but Taylor had an answer every time she was questioned. And I think Wade just really wanted to believe it.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, Taylor was Googling and researching. This all came out in the wash. Mm-hmm. She was researching all the things to pull this off. She searched things like, where do pregnant women gather outside of hospital?
What?
She searched for hospitals outside of the area that she could go to. One of the most chilling searches was how to do a C-section and keep a baby alive.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. The plan. The hospitals had already been warned about Taylor. She had worked for a women's health care group in Northeast Texas, and her ex-coworkers told the doctors in the clinic about Taylor's lying and told them she may plan to do something crazy. And so those doctors had warned the hospital staff in case they ever saw her come into the hospital. September 30th came around, and Taylor had not had the baby on that September 22nd due date.
Mm-hmm.
She had gone to a new OB-GYN clinic in Paris, Texas, which was about an hour and 15 minutes away. from New Boston. And she told the receptionist there that the father of the baby was in the military and died.
Gross.
She started crying and told them that she had to reschedule because she was just too upset. I mean, just lie after lie after lie.
Wow.
She was even seen at the clinic in the parking lot looking at license plates of pregnant women going into the office. She's trying to find her victim.
Mm.
She ended up telling Wade that she would be induced on October 6th. Lo and behold, the morning of October 6th, Wade's house caught on fire.
What? Oh my gosh.
Not just that, but there had been a bomb threat at the very hospital that Taylor was supposed to be induced at. Wade confronted her again and was like, help me make sense of all of this. Like,
yeah.
What is going on? Nothing's adding up. So she told him, everyone will see that she's not lying. The baby has now been planned to come next Friday, the Friday coming up. So where does Reagan come into all of this? Reagan actually met Taylor in 2019 when Reagan hired Taylor to take the engagement pictures that I told you about earlier. Taylor also took Reagan and Homer's wedding pictures.
Wow.
They kept in touch through the years, but they weren't really good friends. And Taylor started texting Reagan, telling her that she had a gift for her and for her and the new baby. And so on October 8th, Taylor went to Reagan's house with the gift. Homer was there at the house when she came over, and he said that they just sat at the kitchen table and talked, and then Taylor left. So Taylor started texting Reagan between 7:22 a.m. and 7:52 a.m. the next morning on October 9th, the morning of the murders. She was texting with the ruse that she needed to come over and get a shower since Wade's house had caught on fire. The plumbing wasn't working.
I know we don't really know each other and we just like chatted last night, but I need a shower at your place. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. Can you go to your in-law's house?
I am without words for this girl.
But remember, Reagan wants to help everybody.
I know. This is...
And also remember, the neighbor texted Wade at 9:15 a.m. about the dog being out in the yard. So sometime between 7:52 a.m. and 9:15 a.m. Wow. is when Reagan was fighting for her and Braxton's life.
That's quick. Yeah. I mean, wow.
It's obvious that she wanted to do it on the 8th, but Homer was home.
Right. He would have taken her downtown.
Oh, yeah. She couldn't fight too.
Oh, no way. Was the 8th the Friday that she was supposed to be induced?
Actually, no. October 8th was that Thursday. So October 9th was that Friday.
So she wanted to have the baby in hand.
So maybe.
In order to produce.
Maybe she just went over there to feel out the layout of the home. Or I mean, she had been there before, but maybe she went over there just to visualize how she was going to do this.
Yeah.
And then come back the next morning. Okay, that makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, so investigators said that this was the bloodiest and most violent scenes that they had ever seen.
Well, pregnant women have a frick ton of blood in their body.
Yeah.
Like, what is it, 5 times the amount of blood or something like that? Mm-hmm. I can't remember, but it's so much blood.
Right.
Like so much more blood than they normally have.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was really scary the lengths that she was willing to go.
My God.
Yeah. And after all that I've told you in this episode, there are so many more outlandish stories that I read of the lies and manipulation, but I'm just going to stop here. Because I don't want to talk about Taylor anymore.
Yeah. Just imagine every nasty thing you could lie about. Like,
yeah.
every terrible thing in this world that people actually go through, she's lied about it.
Right.
She's said that she's gone through it.
Right.
Ugh.
Yeah. So the last thing that I will say about her is while in jail, awaiting trial, Taylor continued with her web of lies. She would fake medical issues.
Please tell me someone shanked her with a toothbrush.
Oh, girl. Just wait. I mean, yeah, she
You're not going to tell me she escaped.
No, girl. No.
Okay.
It's quite the opposite. So just, okay. But she would fake medical issues and cause arguments and altercations between inmates and correctional officers.
Okay. Just please do that.
Yeah, she was having fun.
Okay. She belonged there. That's why.
Mm-hmm. Taylor finally went to trial in September of 2022, and she was sentenced to death.
Dun, dun, dun. Goodbye.
Yeah. The judge said, take her to death row. Yeah. Like, get her out of here.
Get her out of my sight.
After trial, she joined 6 other women on death row in Texas. She is separated from the general public and stays in a single person cell measuring 60 square feet. Death row inmates are only allowed out of their cell for up to 2 hours a day for showers and recreation kind of thing. And you know, the 12 jurors all agreed that she would most likely never change and continue to wreck people's lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just so sad to me. It's only been over a little over a year since was sentenced to death. And I just wonder, at what point do you realize you have a serious problem? Like, has she?
It's her pathology. It's her. Like, you will be in the kitchen and you'll be like, I need a glass of water. So your brain is like going through the steps of what you're going to do to get a glass of water. Mm-hmm. Her brain does not work that way. She lives in a fantasy world. And she's in that box.
Yeah.
Probably pretending that she's being held captive in a castle and that someone is going to come save. I'm not kidding you.
No, I don't.
She's probably got some story in her head and that's how she's coping with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is just, she clearly has a personality disorder, but like, I don't know her, you know, the psychology. I don't know, you know, what been assessed, but definitely personality disorder, which has contributed to the compulsive lying, mm-hmm. but she's also got definite like.
Yeah. But, I mean, I totally believe that there's disorders that we have.
Oh, for sure.
And she's probably has several, but
she's disordered.
Like I said, I totally also believe that, you know, there's demonic things that can take over people. And like, I just don't understand it. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be sweet and kind and loving. And I just can't understand the delusion. I can't. And I'm thankful that I can't.
I think it, you know, like both of her exes put it this way. She's dug herself so deep of a hole.
Yeah.
With these lies. And it probably started off, you know, she got that dopamine rush every time she lied and people paid attention to her back in the day. You know, she's probably always done that. And then her lies became bigger and more grandiose. And then she started lying about things that she shouldn't have been lying about because they left paper trails and there was, you know, receipts. And she had to like counter lie. Yeah. And then they put it best. She had such a hole and she was so desperate. Like at that last point, you know, I mean, I would have expected her to kill Wade or somebody, you know, like just kill Wade and in the house fire. And then she could have moved on to the next lie, the next person. And she could have started the lies all over again.
I mean, or just move away. Like just move. Like
just leave go him crawl alone. In a hole.
Leave him alone.
But that's not her personality. Her personality is to do something so elaborate, so wild. It's giving Jim Newman.
Mm.
vibes. Mm-hmm. Guys, if you have not listened to number one, the Who Killed Jane episode, mm-hmm. go now.
Yeah.
And then if you haven't listened to our last episode where we got to speak with Jim's niece, mm-hmm. go now.
Yeah.
Like, wait, finish this episode, but like, go after this and yeah. listen, because whoa.
Yeah. Very interesting and intriguing. Yeah. Wow. But no, I agree with you. The lies and the just the weirdness of
it. Do you remember the friend I had in like sixth grade?
I thought about this person.
You know who I'm talking about. Okay.
I thought about this person as I'm researching this case.
I had a friend in sixth grade who I thought she had a twin who died in a car accident when they were little. That's just the story. She said her mom didn't like talking about it, so I never brought it up. But there was no pictures of her and her twin sister anywhere. And I was friends with this girl. Like, I went to her house a lot yeah. after school. We'd have snacks. We'd do our homework. And then one day, we're sitting there at her dinner table having a snack. And I said something about her twin sister. I don't even remember what I said. And her mom goes, huh? Mm. Like I said, I didn't even realize her mom was there. Oh. And the lie unraveled.
Oh, no.
She never had a twin. There was no car accident. Everything
I don't remember that. See, I didn't remember that story completely, but I remember you always saying, she is a pathological liar.
But do you remember when I went off to private school and then she told everybody she had a brain tumor?
I do remember that. Yeah.
And I think you told me that.
Yeah.
Like, she's telling everybody she has a brain tumor and people are praying for her at church. And that's sick. Yeah. That is sick.
Girl. Yeah.
That is the same. These are the same people we're talking about. Like, that it's type scary. Of.
But I think she grew out of that.
Okay.
I hope. Well, I mean, I don't know her anymore, but.
Okay. Well, I love to hear it. I hope so.
Yeah. I mean, I had a friend that in high school told everybody. Okay, she's white as white can be. And she told everybody that her dad was black. They believed her.
Wait, didn't someone else do that? There was a documentary. Wasn't her name like Rachel or something? Oh my gosh.
I don't know, but that is no, that amazing. Wasn't that was just a joke and everybody, I mean, she fessed up. It's a joke. I shouldn't say everybody believed her. A couple people believed her. And I'm like, how?
I mean, you know, you could say, oh, she might be adopted or, you know, whatever. But wow. Okay.
Yeah.
We've all known these compulsive liars. But you know what speaks to Taylor's pathology even more is that her former coworkers, like, I don't know how long she worked at that clinic. Mm-hmm. You know, we talk about people who do something like this and everybody's like, I cannot even believe.
Right.
But everybody in her life was everybody be on alert.
Yeah.
Like all hands on deck.
Yeah.
Watch your back. Because this girl.
They knew something was going
to happen. Everybody.
And they still couldn't stop it. Her former
coworkers, they went so far as to call the hospitals. Mm-hmm. That speaks to her pathology right there.
Yeah.
Is that her acquaintances, her former coworkers would go so far. Not to be like, can you believe that? You know, not just office chatter, but they took action.
And that's a part of the story that is so frustrating. Like, people actually were trying to do something about it. Whereas a lot of times we're just like, oh. Yeah.
Like, ooh,
that's crazy.
What's she going to do next?
Yeah.
Or lie about next? But
you're right. I mean, and it still didn't stop her.
Oh my God.
So rest in peace, Reagan and Braxlyn.
This could have gone so differently. Like, I know we say this a lot in our cases, but like, you just think of how preventable this this was.
Yeah.
And just some innocent woman growing her family.
Yeah.
My God. Rest in peace, Reagan and Braxlyn. Fly high, angels.
Yes. Sweet little babies.
Mm. Well, I know it's difficult sometimes telling stories like this. Yeah. Like, it's very tough subject matter. But thank you for telling the story and researching it.
Yeah.
I mean, it takes hours to put these stories together. And I know you had to live this, you know, mess.
Yeah.
And thank you for doing that. And now you can go take a shower and get this girl off of you.
I will. I will. Soaking a hot bath.
Yeah. Well, this was great. Let's do it again sometime.
Yeah. The week after Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Are we going to do New Year's too? We're going to have to. We're going to have to.
We're going to have to take New Year's off?
No, we're going to have to do New Year's. Like, we can't leave them hanging for 2 weeks.
I know. I know.
We'll figure it out.
We'll let y'all know. Follow us on Instagram. Cousins on Crime.
Yeah.
Podcast.
We'll give you all the tea.
Yeah.
We
like to update there. We like to post pictures of us, you know, doing things together.
Yeah. Don't you want to see our face?
Yeah. Why aren't you seeing our faces?
Yeah.
Yeah. Follow us on Instagram. We're going to figure it out. We'll decide.
Yeah.
We'll probably decide the day before we're supposed to record.
Well, y'all have a merry, merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Stop. And if you follow us on Instagram, maybe we can wrestle up some videos of Lena and I performing for our family.
We haven't even practiced
back in the day.
Yeah, we've got to come up with something for this year.
Oh my gosh, we used to do these performances, and one year we did a performance to Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Don't even remember the words, but
and it was funny because it has a cuss word in it, and we our family's like so conservative, and then when that I can't remember what it says, but we were like, woo, or something. Like, we screamed over the word and we didn't want anyone to hear. But
we performed our socks off that. That was a good one.
That was funny. Yeah. Okay, guys. Have a Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Yeah.
Happy whatever you celebrate. And we'll see you guys 2 weeks.
Yeah. Bye, y'all. Love you.
Thank you for listening to Cousins on Crime. If you're enjoying our podcast, please consider leaving us a positive review and rating. To make sure you never miss an episode, subscribe to our show.
You can also follow us on Instagram at Cousins on Crime Podcast or send case suggestions to cousinsoncrime@gmail.com.